Born in Sweden, 89, and I was born here and raised here. And my parents are from former Yugoslavia. My father's from Serbia and my mother's from Croatia. And I've lived here since I was a baby in Sweden with my parents and my sister. And I went to school when I was 6 years old, something like that, and started school. And then it was an ordinary school here in Sweden, you know. We went there and I was like any other kid, you know, full of life and energy and, you know, and stuff like that, and was starting to playing football at that age and other sports, and was you know, with you know, hanging out with friends, and did everything almost like a average 7 year old boy, and you know, he's doing so. Yeah, that was my life at that stage, and it went on, and I went to, I got older, maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and I was training football, like I said, and living my life, and was, I had pretty good, had good grades. I went to Croatia when I was 10 years old. I moved there and started school there, and you know, my father and my mom also came down there, and we lived there, and then we lived there, and I was in school there, and then after 1.5 years, I came back to Sweden, and because the level of knowledge in some part of the school was so far behind in Croatia, then when I came back, I was 1 year ahead of the other people, the other kids. So then I started 1 year, how do you say, before with the older kids. And then I went on, and I was, and even then some things start to happen, because when you grow up in this Western world, you learn from a small age that maybe, you know, kissing a girl is okay, and you know, and you learn that maybe rock stars are like good people, and football players maybe who hasn't have good character, they are good people and some kind of, you know, role models for the teenagers and for the kids, younger kids. So even at that age, you get influenced by these things and these lifestyle, and the way they think of how you should be like. And you know, when I had my whole room was full of these posters of football, you know, from Ronaldo and you know, different kinds of players, you know, from all over the world, you know. So that's when it starts to, when you lose focus from what your purpose in life is, and then you start focusing about to become a football player, or to become a rock star, or to become a, I don't know what, a gangster maybe, because you also grew up with these gangster movies, like, you know, I don't know, you know, whatever the names are, you know, you grew up with these things, and it's okay. Even in small age, when you see these cartoons, you know, maybe you see this, I don't know what, the Little Mermaid or something, that how to disobey your father, you know, it becomes like natural. It's no problem to disobey him, your father, and go with that boy you want to be with, you know. So even in that age, you get like a picture of how the life should be. So that was the thing for me. I grew up, like I said, like any usual, if I use the term usual for that kind of, I don't know, understanding of life. And then, you know, I was living that life, and I was good in football. I practiced football, I trained football almost every day, and I also handball and other sports, karate and other sports. So it was a lot about the sports and the school to get good grades, and it was just, you know, to get good grades and be good in sports. That was the main reason. Of course, not to use cigarettes and all other kind of stuff when you're at that part of age. Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, that's another stage of life when you get used to, yeah, it's different. I get some kind of, how do you know, why am I here? What's my purpose to be here? You know, maybe when I was 13 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
I was in the 8th grade here in Sweden, in Gothenburg, and I started wondering, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What is everything this, you know? And I was, you know, feeling bad about this, like a crisis, I think many people go through when they're in that...
Like a crisis.
Yeah, like a crisis, yes. So, you know, and then, but after that, I think it just, you know, went off and I didn't feel it anymore. But it was a quite long period of time that I thought about this crisis, like, why am I here and stuff like that. And then it, you know, became like, first, you know, this with parties, you know, music, mixing with girls, you know, and hugging and, you know, and stuff like that. And it's okay to kiss a girl. It's even cool to kiss a girl and to have, you know, a lot of, how do you say, female friends or to have girlfriends and stuff like that. But because you grew up with these movie stars and these rap stars and these other, and they become your role models, and you see them in the music videos, how they act, you know, how they talk and how they, you know, dress, you know. So it becomes something that you want to achieve in life. So then you imitate them. So it was, and also the football players, you know, with, you know, that they're kind of, I'm the best, you know, and there's no one like me, and maybe stuff like that. So it became that kind of thing, became stronger to, you know, to be something, to be cool, you know, in that kind of way. And also this with the, maybe it's the cigarettes, it started with something in Sweden, it's called snus. And it's something that it has tobacco, you put it on the under your lip, and then you get some kind of kick or something, you know. So I remember when I first took it, you know, I wanted to throw up, and I was maybe 13 years old at the time. And it started from there, and then it went on maybe after a year, maybe, okay, cigarettes, I saw somebody's smoking, you know, you think it's cool. And, you know, that's maybe when I was 16, and then I started with cannabis, this marijuana and hashish, this stuff. So it's like, you know, when you go upstairs, so it starts with this, and then it goes up and up. And after a while, you know, I left school, I left my school, I left my football team, where I was quite good, you know, I had chances to progress and to do something with a football career when I was maybe 16 and up to 17 years old. And between that time, 16 and 17, I started with these drugs, like, on a more regular basis, and I use them, cannabis, most of them, and also alcohol. I don't even mention it because it's so widespread, it's so common that you don't even, like, you know about it already. So alcohol was there even before, maybe from 12, 13, 14 years old. It is like not normal, you drink sometimes, you know, in this. And then this cannabis, it's like an extra thing. And then it went on and went on, and then I, like I said, I stopped school. I did high school when I was maybe 17 years old, 16 years old, 16 at the time. And then also the football team and everything just, and then the social welfare, they came along with the police, and they took me, and they put me in a team for adolescents, where to make them to good people again, you know, but under 18, so like a prison for people under 18.
What was the reason why they put you in?
Because because my days and my life and what I was doing and everything was totally out of it was totally chaotic. It was a disaster. So I quit school, I quit football, I started with these drugs and buying a lot of clothes for a big money and expensive clothes, you know, and I thought that's gonna give me happiness, and it didn't give me happiness. So you know, so it was like that. And I think also my parents, they wanted me to leave that thing and to leave these bad friends and this bad lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But and then at the end it became like the social welfare came along with, you know, my parents in some kind of way, and this police, and then they took me to this institution, and maybe 100 kilometers from Gothenburg, and in a forest where they put other teenagers, and then I was there locked in. It was totally locked. I could not like this big thing around when you go out on the garden. So it's like a juvenile prison, you can say. So I was there for maybe 2 months. They left me, and then they put me in another, also almost similar place like that, but it was a little bit more free, when you could go from the, how do you say, where you are at the days, you could go to the where you play football and that. And then after a while, when I was there, I escaped from there, I ran through the forest, and then I got home. And you know, and to make a story short, I went from Sweden, and the police almost catch me here when I was in Sweden, because I was, on the run. Yeah. So they looked for me, and they catched me, but I escaped from them. And then I went to Germany, with my father, and I was how do you say safe or something from them. But the problems went on, the hashish and the other things that they went on all the time, and I was trying to get something in the football, try to practice football to train and to go to a club, but I was not on the level because of my, I was smoking cigarettes and I smoked hashish and stuff like that, so it was not the time for that. And then I went to Croatia and so on and so forth, and then I came back after a while, 4 or 5 months in Croatia, back to Sweden, and then when I was maybe 17 years old. And then I continued my life like that until until I became maybe 22, all the time from drugs and other, you know, movies and parties and this and this, all haram and kufr, you know. And I was Christian, if you call it Christian, like if they asked me before, I say yes, I'm a Christian, I had a cross, you know, and I sometimes I went to church, but not like on a regular basis. I went sometimes, you know, when I wanted to go. And this was, so my family, they're original Christians, but it's not like a practicing Christian family. So, you know, when you ask me, but I always believed in God. I always believed that something made this universe to exist, but I didn't care so much about, I didn't care, you know, what does God want from me. I just, you know, I wanted to live my life, become a football player, become a movie star, model, and so on and so forth. And that's what my main goals and objectives in life.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about how Islam came to your life? What was going on in your life? Obviously, you were telling us that you were heavily involved in drugs and whatnot. What was the scenario? What was the run-up to you finding out about Islam and becoming a Muslim?
Yeah, it was not a thing that I planned. It was not nothing that was, how to say, expected in that kind of way, that I was studying the deen, the you know, everything about Islam, what it says and what's it, you know, it was not like that. So yani, for me, like I told you before, it was this kind of lifestyle. And I was, when you asked me about my religion, I said I was a Christian, but I was no practicing Christian. I know a lot more about Christianity today than I knew back then when I was a Christian. And so I was, this was 2012, something like that. 2012, yeah, something like that. And I was in Denmark. I was going to Denmark with a friend of mine. And I was, you know, it was a lot of drugs on that trip. You know, I felt unconscious and I, you know, and back and forth. And then a person drove the car. He almost smashed into the I don't know what you call it, on the highway, you know, the barrier. Yeah. And then, you know, it was chaotic, you know, and it was no good place to be in. And then, after that, I came to Denmark to a friend who was a football player, professional football player, and then you know, I was there for a while. We talked, you know, and it was like a bad environment. But then when everybody went to sleep, I went to the computer. I looked at the computer. It was not like, okay, now I'm gonna see about Islam, what Islam says about life. You know, it was just something came which was already on the computer, and then I read this file, and I think it was a PDF file from Quran as Budskap, the message of the Quran. It's a, how do you say, interpretation of the meaning on the Swedish language. And then I wrote, I saw this, and then it was written in like a Swedish text. And then I read it, and then I couldn't stop. You know, I would just continue reading, and still at that time I had drugs in my body, but I was focused. Yani, I was focused. I know what I was reading. I couldn't stop. And I read for hours, and then I woke my friend up, who was sleeping in his room. And then he said to me, I can't remember exactly the wordings and stuff, but I think I asked him something about what is this, and this is insane. I don't know, you know, I have to follow this, you know. And he said to me, I became Muslim myself 2 days ago or 3 days ago, but don't tell anybody. So this guy, he's a Swedish Muslim, and he's white hair and blue eyes, and you know, I didn't know he was Muslim when I came there. But then I woken up, he told me, and then I said I have to follow this. Then we called a brother from Sweden who was a friend of ours before we were Muslims, and we called him, and then he answered, and on Skype he answered. And then I took I asked him, I just talked to him. I saw that he had a little beard, you know, and I you know, it was a, you know, very nice feeling. It was something, it felt right. I couldn't care less about my family is gonna say, and what they and this and that, you know. I just said I want to become Muslim, And then they, he said to me like to remember the, I said the Shahada in Arabic and Swedish, like I remember. And then, and at that time, the next day, a guy that was in the room with us in the apartment, a bad person, he brought some cocaine to the house after the day after that. And he knew that we were Muslims. I was Muslim. He was Muslim. And still he got some cocaine in the house, you know. And then for the first time in my life, you know, I always been weak when I see, you know, maybe drugs, and always, and when you see this cocaine, like they say it's the rich man's drug, and you know, and it's this Scarface and Tony Montana, and it's this rock stars and this, and so it's like they make it glamorous, you know. So then I had this in front of me, and it cost maybe 1,000 crowns, I don't know, in pound, maybe 80 pounds or 70 pounds for 1 gram. And then it was in front of me, and you know, for the first time I just took a part of it, and it was not mine, it was his. And this also guy, he had some contacts with the criminal people, and this I couldn't care less, you know, because these people, they were weak in the individual. So but that kind of, I don't know, I felt some big warm and strong feeling that I just took it and I threw it out of the window, and he became, I don't know, angry and but maybe also scared. He think, who is this guy, you know? So I threw it out, you know, but I know him from before, and he's the same guy that I took these drugs with before. Not the football player. I talk about this this other guy now. That was his yani drugs. Part of, I don't know, he maybe shared it with somebody, but it was his drugs also. So I just threw it away, and then from that, and then I, you know, I didn't care, and then I lived, I started to learning about Islam. And this guy that I called on Skype, he went to Denmark maybe 2 days after that, and then this bad person, he went back to Sweden, and then I started to learn with my other brother, the football player in Denmark, about, you know, the Islam and to pray and to make wudu, and you know, and to don't look at women, to lower your gaze, you know, and stuff like that. So it was almost at the very beginning I started to practice Islam and to try to understand and to be with Muslims and to go to the mosque. And so that's how I came into it. So it was not like a study, just like, yani, very, very quick and very strong, and from that day I just changed, and I couldn't feel more right about my decision. So yeah.
Okay.
So alhamdulillah, Islam has made me it's a totally different life. It's from to go from the darkness into the light. I've become Muslim from away from kufr and haram, and into the light of Islam, and to practice Islam, not just to say I'm Muslim, you know, and to practice Islam. So I don't say I'm the best Muslim, but I strive to be so good, as good as I can. So I pray 5 times a day. I try to be good to my wife, alhamdulillah. I try to be good to my parents, obey my parents in everything that is good and correct, and to be good to people in general, to kuffar, to show them that Islam is justice and it's beauty. It's nothing about terrorism. So everything this, it's changed my life totally. I quit the drugs, the alcohol, the all the haram, you know, even small things like to throw things on the, you know, you drink your I don't know, whatever you drink, and then you just throw it in, you know, on the ground. It's, you know, stuff like that. It was, you know, everyday, you know, everyday food or what do you call it. But now you think about these things, to throw it in a garbage can, to be good, to help somebody over maybe the road, or to show somebody the way. All these kinds, the aspects of Islam, because Islam is so great. So alhamdulillah, it's made a so big impact on my life, and I strive to become so as good as I can in this life, so I can gain the paradise and the Jannah in the hereafter.
What advice have you got to Muslims and also non-Muslims in regarding this song? People who may want to look into Islam, but also people who are already Muslim. What advice have you got to them?
So this advice is first to myself, and then to you, Muslims and non-Muslims. My advice is to think about this world, and that we are created for a purpose. Our purpose is not just to gain materialism and to gain some social status or something like that, or to be a football player, or to be a basketball player, or whatever. That's not the main goal and objective in our lives. So my advice is to understand that Islam is submission to Allah, to God, to the creator of the heavens and the world and everything that exists. And through that submission you get peace in your life and you get the paradise in the hereafter. And so I just want to say that you should strive to do your best and to leave bad company. Don't let bad company, even if you know them for 10 years, 15 years, and they call you bro and they call you this and this, if they don't give you something good and they don't like put you in a good place, or then just, you know, try to focus on yourself, on your life, and think about it. You're gonna be asked about your life and what you did with it and what you spend with the information, the knowledge that you got. So my advice is to just keep on and to do your best for the Muslims, to not just say I'm Muslim and then just eat baklava two times a year and then just, you know, on Eid, you know, and mashallah Bayram and this, you know, it's not that, that's not Islam, you know. Islam is to practice Islam in Ramadan and outside Ramadan and to be as good Muslims as you can. And not just to say I'm a Muslim, because what kind of Muslim are you if you don't pray, you don't fast, you don't obey your parents, you do drugs, you don't even know one, maybe two prophets of Islam, but you know maybe the whole Barcelona football team, and you know that's not a real Muslim. You should try to focus on what's gonna gain you, because it's in your interest to be to pray. It's in your interest to fast. You know, if I pray, I pray for myself, and also if I can you know, give influence to others, it's very good. But you're gonna ask about your life and how you spent it. So that's my advice, to just keep on thinking about this. Och mitt råd till er som kan svenska, som jag sa på engelska, att vi har blivit skapade för ett syfte, att underkasta oss Guds vilja och att vara bra muslimer och att leva i den här jorden och den här världen som bra muslimer och göra de plikter som vi har. Och det är som sagt i vårt intresse att göra detta, att be och fasta och att göra allt annat som Islam säger. Och vi kommer bli frågade om detta på domedagen, så det är upp till oss att ta tag i det här och kämpa och göra det bästa av situationen och lämna alla dåliga vänner, även om du har känt dem i hur många år som helst, och vara med bra personer som stimulerar dig och ger dig alltså ambition och ger dig kraft och ger dig glädje och så vidare, som stöttar dig att vara på den raka vägen, och lämna allt annat. Och sen också så tycker jag att man ska se den här jorden som en väldigt kort period, för vi känner även många som har dött, som ligger i graven, och tänka på detta och att förstå att vi också kommer vara där en dag, och då är det för sent att komma tillbaka till den här världen. Det är för sent att ångra sig, så man måste ta tag nu i detta liv. And I just wanted to say that for the non-Muslims, I just wanted to say to you to make your own research, to go to the source, don't listen to CBC or Fox News or whatever or London News or stuff like that. Just see what Islam says about forcing your daughter to get married, what Islam says about terrorism, what Islam says about all these things that people think that, okay, this is Islam. Islam is not that. Islam is free of all of that. So when you see, when you go to the source, when you read the Quran in Arabic or the interpretation of the meaning, you will see that this is God's word, and then you have to follow this, otherwise you will be responsible. And God is gonna judge everybody in a just way. So we have to think about this and try to strive and be good people. Yeah, I want to thank you all for listening and for having patience with me. And I wish you that God gives you everything that's best for you. And barakallahu fikum wa jazakallahu khairan.